hopefully they got here on time.
Tom and Carol's on the wrong side. Y'all are getting me confused. All right, open your Bible this morning, the Gospel of John. John, the 14th chapter. One of probably the second most popular, well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible are the words here in John chapter 14. Probably the most familiar words in Scripture are John chapter 3, verse 16. These are probably neck and neck with the 23rd Psalm. Let not your heart be troubled. I know, again, it may be like one of those songs we just sang. You may only know a piece of it, but we know that little section, let not your heart be troubled. That verse has been used, if I had a penny for every time that verse had been used in a funeral setting or, that type of, in the hospital, I'd take us all to eat lunch and it would be a really nice lunch and I would have change left over. This is an extremely well-known passage of Scripture, and it should be. It's a good word for us. When and unfortunately, I think it is the chapter divide. There are those who debate how much time gap was between chapter 13 and chapter 14, as Jesus had just finished this talk in the upper room and had told Peter, Peter's wanting to know why I can't follow you. There are some who think that there is some time between the two, between the end of 13 and the beginning of 14. I actually believe that this was just an ongoing, rolling conversation, that after Jesus, now this whole conversation, he's been telling them that he's going to leave. He's been foretelling his death and telling Peter, you can't go with me, and they've had this conversation. It just flows naturally. I can only imagine that at the end of what we have in chapter 13, that by now the disciples, just to be honest, their heart is troubled. They are somewhat upset by the events. They're upset by what Jesus has said. They're confused because Judas has left the building. And so they are upset. And so it makes sense to me that flowing right out of that, Jesus would say to them, just settle down. Let not your heart be troubled. It makes sense to me. And it just shows for us the nature and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Again, it's just difficult for me to imagine that Christ would have given them this information about him leaving and everything that's took place in chapter 13 and would have just said, all right, guys, see you, and left them hanging. It makes sense to me that Christ in his compassion, Christ in the nature that he has, would immediately say to the disciples after that, all right, don't worry. Don't worry. Let me tell you, that's not the end of the story. Yes, I'm leaving, but don't get upset. Don't get agitated. Don't get troubled by what I've just told you, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can just see the natural flow of that, that after this upsetting information that the disciples would have gotten, Jesus said, but now calm down. And the disciples would have went, whew, well, that's good to know. I think it's just the nature of Christ to give his agitated, upset, troubled servants this good word. I think it's a good word for us. I think it's a good word for today. We live in an agitated, troubled time. The word there in chapter 14 that when he says, "Let not your heart be troubled," the Greek word literally means agitated. We live in an agitated time. I think that's a good word to describe our situation. We are in an agitated time. We have been cooped up and on lockdown for 3 or 4 months, couldn't get our hair cut, those kind of things. And it's almost like a powder keg, just waiting for someone to light the fuse. We are in an agitated time. You can feel it. You can just sense it when you go out into the streets, out into public. You turn on the television. We live in an agitated time. And in an agitated time, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." We need it as much this morning. We need to hear these words of Jesus this morning as much or more than these disciples did. I want to point out to you several things. You know, the very simple theme of this passage, I believe. I believe there's one word that describes it up. Politicians like to use it, but I'm not sure they understand the definition of it. Politicians like to use it, and that word is the word hope. This word, these three verses give us hope. Let not your heart be troubled. And he's going to go on and explain to us why our heart shouldn't be troubled. I want you to see those four things this morning. Why is it that God says, why does Christ say that our heart should not be troubled? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I know that if I did, if I was to say this morning, how many of you here today have had a troubled heart? Every hand in the building would go up. In fact, if I were to say, how many of you today have a troubled heart? I would say the majority of the hands would go up as we see the news and we see the events that are transpiring around us. How do we have hope? Well, we have hope because we have a hope of heaven. That's what Jesus says to his disciples. The disciples only think that chapter 13 was bad. They only think that the news they got in chapter 13 was bad. To use the old saying, they ain't seen nothing yet. It's about to get much worse as their Savior will be arrested, as their Savior will be unjustly tried, as he will ultimately be crucified and placed in a tomb. They haven't seen anything yet. And so Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Notice with me four things here and very simple, very quick today that we have reason for hope, that we have a reason for our hearts not to be upset or troubled. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What does he say? When Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, the first thing that we have for hope is his peace, the peace of God. He says, look what he says, and most of us, we overlook the whole verse. We know the passage says, let not your heart be troubled, but then he says, you believe also in God, you believe in God, believe also in me. What's he talking about? He's saying that our peace comes from him. Part of the reason today that our hearts are agitated, that we are troubled, and again, that's what that word literally means there in the 14th chapter, is to be troubled, to be agitated, to be disturbed, perplexed. You know all those words. And Jesus says, don't be that. Well, if I'm not going to be that, if I'm not going to be troubled, then any of you ever tried to quit smoking? What happens when you quit smoking? You start eating. And so the smart people tell us that if you want to get rid of one bad habit, you have to start doing something else, or to make up the time. Well, Jesus says, get rid of the trouble. Well, if he wants us to get rid of the trouble, then there's only one thing left. What? Peace. Jesus says to his disciples, calm down. You can trust me, is what he says. You have my peace. We know how the New Testament goes on and describes that peace. It is a peace that passes all understanding. It is a peace that this world cannot offer. It's a peace, all the State of the Union addresses, all the stimulus packages, all the political orders, all the newscasts, all those things together cannot combine and cannot measure up to the peace that only God can give us. The peace in our heart that only God can provide. That's what he's saying to his disciples. His disciples here, they're worried. They're upset. Jesus has said that he is leaving. It's curious. You think about what Jesus has just said. Jesus says to them, I'm leaving. I'm going to go away. I'm going to die. He has that whole conversation with them. And then he says, but don't be upset about it. Anybody in here ever told somebody, calm down? How does that work? Does it work any better for you than it does for me? There are no two worse words in the world. Yeah, I don't know what it is about being told to calm down that, I mean, it's like gas on a fire. I don't know what it is, but calm down for some reason has, I think I could walk up to you and say, get mad. And most of you go, what's wrong with you? You'd laugh at me, but if I tell you to calm down, oh, well, that's exactly what Jesus just told his disciples. What he's saying is what I have just told you isn't meant to upset you. It's meant to give you comfort. Say, here's what he's saying to his disciples, and here's what I believe the message for you and I today is. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on around us. Literally, as I said, our nation is on fire. Literally. And symbolically, we look around and, I don't know about you, but I'm wanting to find me one of those DeLoreans and get in it and go back a couple years and try this again. You have to go home and watch the movies. I want to go back, let's just skip 2020. I mean, I keep waiting on an invasion of locusts. That's about the only thing left. That's about all. I take that back. We got murdering hornets coming. Everywhere we look, it's bad news. But Christ says to us, just as he says to these disciples, in the middle of the bad news, in the middle of the raging storm, in the middle of the crashing seas, peace be still. Peace be still. I love that song, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Amen.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. What great words. I want you to understand this morning that you can have peace in the middle of agitated times. But you only will find it in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You only find it in his word. Have you noticed something? Let me just point out something. I hope this is true for you. Have you noticed this morning as you came into this building and you sat down and you began to sing Blessed Be the Name when the roll was called up yonder? You began to pray. You opened up God's Word and began to read God's Word. Have you noticed how pandemics and social unrest have kind of settled for us? It's amazing the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring. Let not your heart be troubled. You hear that? Let not your heart. You hear what he says? Don't let it happen. He says it does. You hear what he says? Let not your heart be troubled. You know, do you hear that? You don't have to be troubled. He says, don't let it happen. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart become agitated. Can I tell you something this morning? And this isn't scriptural. This isn't spiritual. But can I tell you something? The best thing some of us could do? Throw your television in the yard. That's the best thing you could do. The best thing some of you could do would be go to the park and walk around and watch the kids play. I guess they can play. Can the kids go to the park yet? I don't know. Find something. But let not. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. I'm not saying don't be informed. I'm not saying don't be aware. Listen, I came in yesterday and you are sitting on freshly sterilized chairs. I sprayed every one of them. I was thinking about it as I was going through. If y'all just sat in the same seat every Sunday, I wouldn't need to spray it. It'd be your germs on your chair. Maybe that's what we need to do. Just put names on the seats and then we don't have to spray it. Now, I'm not saying don't be aware. I'm not saying don't be conscious. I'm saying what Jesus said. Let's not let our heart be troubled. We have, as children of God, we have the peace that only God provides. We see His peace in this passage. Not only His peace, but look, He says, here's why we have peace. Here's how we have peace, because He says in verse 2 of chapter 14, "If my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Not only have His peace, but we have His place. Not only have His peace, but we have His place. Do you see that? Jesus says, this is why your heart shouldn't be troubled. Because I am going to prepare a place for you. How many of you, you think back for a moment, back when you were younger, and maybe you can't remember that far back, but think about your children and your grandchildren. You know how they get over around about Thanksgiving? You know what I'm talking about, right? About Thanksgiving, they start getting a little giddy. They start counting down. Get over to the 1st of December. Start with, why? Because they know Christmas is out there. They know Christmas is coming. And so, it's pretty, you get down to a day or two before Christmas, and it's pretty hard to upset a 7 or 8 year old kid. I mean, they're pretty pumped up. It's pretty difficult to get them upset. Why? Because they know, anytime they're going under the Christmas tree, shake them boxes. Why? They know there's a reward out there. They get the same way a few days before their birthday. Not all of them are children that get like that. Do they, Mother? My mother's birthday is February the 24th. She will start telling you on Christmas Eve. It's 2 months to her birthday. We start telling her we don't care. When there's that prize out there, it makes it. I remember when my first job, my second job actually, I sold jewelry. And the way they get our Christmas bonus, crooked outfit, but you get your Christmas bonus in time to use it. You got your Christmas bonus as you walked out the door on Christmas Eve. If the store closed at 6 and you got violently sick at 5:30 and had to leave, you can get your Christmas bonus that year. And you can imagine, I guess, what Christmas Eve in a jewelry store is like. Bunch of knuckleheads. Let me just help. I've been out of the jewelry business a long time, but let me help all those that are still in it. Men, Christmas will be on December the 25th again this year. I've looked it up. December the 25th this year. I don't remember what it was last year. I'm not sure what it's going to be next year. But this year, it'll be December the 25th. Okay? And if you want to get your wife like a mother's ring, go get it now. Go ahead. Because it's coming. Back to the message. When there's a little bit of a prize out front, doesn't it? You know, that just, as bad as Christmas Eve was in the jewelry store, you just sucked it up and you put up with it. No matter how, I don't care how many, I wasn't quitting on Christmas Eve. I might quit at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Y'all think I'm kidding? Literally, as you walked out the door, the manager stood as you walked out the door and handed you your Christmas bonus. That's when you got it. They couldn't have flew me out of there on Christmas Eve. It didn't matter how rude, how cranky the customer was. It didn't matter how evil they were, how demanding they were. It didn't matter. It didn't matter how bad a mood the boss was. It didn't matter. I was going to be there at 6 o'clock if the whole building burned down. I was going to be sitting up in the middle of the fire waiting on my check. There's something about knowing there's a little bit of reward out at the end that will motivate you. Well, that's exactly what Jesus says to his disciples. He says to you and I, let not your heart be troubled. Yes, right now we're going through a difficult time. Our nation is going through things that, you know, some real pains in a lot of different ways. But while we're going through what we're going through here, Jesus says, I'm going up there to prepare a place for you. Amen. He said, you just go ahead and endure what's going on. You go ahead, don't let your heart be troubled by this, because you know this is not the end of the story. This is not the end. This is not the final chapter. The final chapter includes a trumpet sound. The final chapter includes come up hither. The final chapter has not been written yet. He's writing it as we speak. Now, I'm not going to spend time going in. There's all kinds of debates about what he means about mansions. Is that houses and all that kind of stuff? I'm not going to be troubled about that either. All I'm going to be thinking about is that every day, any day, all day, my Savior is preparing a place for me. And here's how I look at that. I look around this world, even in its fallen state, even with all that sinful man has done, with pollution and sin and everything else. And you know what? I looked around, and this is a right beautiful place. Been to the beach and watched the sun come up, the mountains. You know, to watch the lightning crash as the words to how great they are, to see the lightning, the thunder, those things. This is a right, in its fallen state, this place isn't all that bad. Would you agree with that? It's got its flaws, but as the song goes, I can only imagine what he's been able to prepare for us in 2,000 years. He did this in 7 days. Imagine what this place is that he has prepared. My heart can't be troubled. Oh, I can be concerned. I can be aware. And I'm not going to be agitated. Because I'm like Paul. Paul says, I know that for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The place that he has prepared. I've already kind of touched on this, but let's just expand on that thought for just a moment here. Not only do we see his peace and his place, but I want you to think about this one. This kind of goes in. His preparation. Again, the fact that Jesus is preparing. I go to prepare a place for you. I want you to do something for me real quick. I want everybody in here to close your eyes. You can be cheating because I can't see, but if I do see, I'm going to come back and poke you in the eyes and make sure you see. I want you to shut your eyes for one moment. And I want you to imagine God's heaven. I want you to imagine it for a moment. Can you see it? Can you see streets of gold? Can you see the gates of pearl? Can you see his throne? Can you hear the angels sing? You got that picture in your head? Now look up here. Do you understand this morning that I don't know who has the most vivid imagination in this room, but whatever you imagine can't touch it. Whatever you imagined, whatever you saw, whatever, no matter how magnificent, how splendid an imagination and a vision you just had, I will assure you that when you step through those gates, you're going to go, wow, never thought it'd be like this. You know how I know? Because the Bible has seen, that it says that eyes have not seen. We don't have a clue. How can our hearts be troubled when our Savior is going to prepare a place for you? How can we let the things of this world, again, I'm not saying, please don't miss that. I'm not saying we're not aware. I'm not saying don't be conscious. I'm not. But I'm saying we don't need to be agitated. We don't need to face them like the world faces them. We don't need to be like those with no hope. Because we have a Savior going to prepare a place for us. But then look, finally, the great piece of this is what he says in the last verse. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The promise. The promise. He says, where I'm going to prepare it, but then I'm going to come back and get you. And this actually, I say this all the time. You know, if you've been here, again, I'm what now, 25 years and a month into being your pastor. And you've heard me say this a million times in those 25 years. This is my favorite verse. This is, I think, my favorite verse. That where I am, there you may be also. See, if I was Jesus, that verse would have sounded something like this. Kenny, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to send you there. But I don't like to do it, I'm spending eternity with you. Yeah. No, I'm Jesus. I'm not, you know, I send all y'all over there, but I'm going over here with my Father. But the Son of God looked at you, Debbie. Looked at you, Stu. Looked at you. Looked at you, Nancy, and said, you know what? I love you so I'm going to go prepare a place, and then I'm going to go come back and get you, and you and I together are going to go there. And if you can dwell on that, you get agitated. That where I am, there you may be also. If I go, let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is somewhere preparing a place for his people right now? Raise your hand. Good. You hear what he said? If I go to prepare a place for you, and you believe he is preparing a place, then he says, I will come and get you. and we will go to that place. What an amazing promise. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be agitated. Don't be disturbed. Don't be stirred up by today's events, because your Savior is preparing a place for you right now. You know, we've got a sign we had burned in wood years ago up in Gatlinburg. It says, the Barracks, 2613. One day I'm going to hang that up, if it hadn't rotted by now. You know, somewhere right now, Jesus is preparing a place. It's got a wooden sign out front, and it says, Jimmy's Place. How can my heart be troubled? I heard a story, supposedly a true story, about a little retreat, little 5-day summer camp retreat for children, families, for the whole family with disabilities. And at the end of the 5 days, they had all like a closing type ceremony, and they had all the kids come together, and the parents, you know, again, it was a family thing. The family wasn't just summer camp for the kids, but they'd all been there all week long. And when they got together for their final thing, they asked the kids, would anybody like to say anything? Would anybody like to say anything about camp and how it went this week? Little Jeff raised his hand. And they walked over and they handed Jeff the microphone. You can only imagine a young child with disabilities. He takes the microphone and he pulls it up right up to his mouth. And he takes it and he says, let's go home. The camp directors were kind of concerned, but the mama explained to him later. Said, oh no, Jeff had a great time. He loved his time here at camp, but you see, his father didn't get to come. He had to work. And Jeff really missed his father. He wanted to go see his dad. Folks, as believers, we're having fun. This is a summer camp for us. But if you've got Christ in your heart, you're ready to go see your Father. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, and you also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning as music plays. And I want to ask you to stand with me together. This morning, there's two groups of people in this room, as always. There's two groups of people. There are those here today who don't know Jesus Christ, who you have no hope. You're watching online, you don't know Christ, and your heart should be troubled. You need to come this morning. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know Him personally. How you can know the promise of a returning Savior. If you're here this morning, you say, I know I'm a believer. My heart is troubled. The events of our world, the events that are going on around us, they trouble me. My heart is agitated. God, I need your peace. Remind me this morning of the peace that you provide. You want to come and kneel this morning? You want to kneel where you are? As God moves your heart this morning. As God stirs you today, your heart's been agitated. You're troubled for our nation. Lord, I just want a peace that you promised. God, I know you've given me a provision. You've given me a place. You're preparing it for me. God, help me to learn to trust you. Help me learn to not let my heart be troubled. Father, we come to you this morning. God, we're thankful for your promises. Thankful for your word. God, that we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. God, it's the work of Satan. It's a choice. God, we choose this morning to focus on your provision, on your preparation, that you're preparing a place. God, we just want to this morning be able to have that peace that passes all understanding. God, as we go from here this morning, as we go out, as we go back into our homes, into our workplaces, into our community, God, I pray, Lord, that you would let us be examples. Let others look at us and say, how can you have that kind of peace? How can you not be worried? How can you not be troubled? And we'd use that as an opportunity to share and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you again for allowing us to gather here today. God, I pray, Lord, that you will bless each one. God, that you'll keep us safe as we leave. God, guide and direct us, and we'll give you the honor for all that we do. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, just remind you again, the offering bucket. Let me get some KFC bucket. That's what we need. Buckets at the front door, or side door, whatever that is, if you will, kind of peel off from the back and don't all, again, keep your, you've done good so far at social distancing. I'll be glad when that phrase is out of our vocabulary. Please try to keep it up. And I'm going to ask you, I don't know any other way to do this. I would prefer it because of the air conditioning here. But this week, the numbers, if you paid attention, the numbers, even in Cabarrus County, have continued to climb and escalate. Is everybody content with staying in here? Do you want to go back outside? If you want to go outside, raise your hand. Good. I'll see you here next Sunday. That means you got to be here next Sunday. Nobody raised their hand. Again, I think we're safe. As safe as we're going to be at Food Line or Walmart. Safe as you'd be at a protest. Bad preacher. Again, feel free if you'd like to wear your mask, whatever. We plan on being back in here then next Sunday unless the wheels can fall completely off of the health report. All right. Be careful going out the door.